You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Thanks for joining me here on episode number 33. Episode number 33. It's been a long time. Fresh off of my European study abroad program. Yo, look at me sounding all highfalutin' and stuff. Studying abroad in Europe. But I want to talk about that a little bit. Some of the things I saw. And how I think we can learn from some of the things they do over there in Europe. But first, I wanted to start with the NBA Finals. We finally know who's going to be participating. It's the Golden State Warriors taking on the Toronto Raptors. Now, how did we get here? First, with the Warriors. Now, I'm not much into the prediction business. But I wish I was here when we learned that Kevin Durant had a calf injury and he wouldn't be able to move forward, you know, back when the Golden State Warriors were taking on the Rockets. I would have came in here and told y'all, have no fear, the Warriors are about to get busy. Now, you guys know I believe wholeheartedly in the mentality of a professional athlete, that being the driving force behind everything that they do. You know, forget the fact that Steph Curry is a great shooter. Why is he a great shooter? Because he works hard. Why does he work hard? Because he has the mindset to continuously get better, right? At the crux of everything they do is the mentality. And that's no different with Draymond Green. You know, Draymond Green is somebody who's unapologetic about who he is. He means what he says, and he says what he means. So when Kevin Durant goes down, you think Draymond don't remember that back in November he told KD, listen, dog, we don't need you. We won championships without you. You don't think that's ringing in his mind? You don't think he's ready to show you guys that, yo, he meant exactly what he said? Because when you go back to that time, he wasn't apologetic. He said, yo, I said what I said, and we're going to move forward. You know, there's pluses and minuses to being somebody who's unapologetic. You know, me, myself, somebody that prides himself on being that type of individual. There's pluses and minuses to essentially being an a-hole. And you say, well, how can there be plus and minus? Well, plus, when you walk in a room and you're unapologetic about who you are, the people that are left standing, they are down for you wholeheartedly. So when you walk in a room and you're difficult to handle, and the people that hang around, you can trust and believe that they are there for you wholeheartedly. And that quality has led to me having some of the greatest relationships in my life. Now, a negative to being somebody that's unapologetic is, you got to stand on what you say. If you got a big mouth, you got to stand on it. It's time for you to perform. So Draymond understood. Listen, I told KD we was better off without him. So the opportunity came. KD's injured. It's time to show and prove. So it's no surprise that Draymond Green had a monster series against the Portland Trailblazers. No surprise at all. If you're going to be somebody that talks tough, you got to back it up. So, yes, I believe they miss KD. You know, they wish him well. They wish he was out there with them. But this is an opportunity to show them, to show the world, yo, we were champions before him. Steph Curry, one of my favorite players, man. I hate watching interviews of Steph Curry. He never says anything interesting. He has that droning voice. Cool. I mean, I guess that's what you got to do to not offend anybody. I guess it helps sell sneakers. But every now and again, we get the unfiltered, unadulterated Steph Curry. I go back to the Rocket series. There's a clip of Steph Curry walking into the locker room, and he says, try to take me off the court now. as he celebrated the victory over the Rockets. And the story came out that when the Golden State Warriors visited Houston, Steph Curry asked for some extra time to shoot around. Chris Paul got wind of this extra shooting time for Steph Curry. And being the petty individual that he is, he monopolized the court so Steph Curry couldn't shoot around. That's no surprise from Chris Paul, somebody that has punched somebody in the nuts two times in his career. That's no surprise that he did that. But Steph Curry took that slight and said, listen, I'm going to show you. You know, Steph Curry is aware of what you guys say about him and his playoff career. That, yeah, he's a good regular season player, but he comes up short. Yeah, he was the unanimous NBA regular season MVP, but never in the playoffs. It took for Andre Iguodala to come off the bench and help lead them to their first championship. It took for KD to come back around for them to win two in a row. Never were they led by Steph Curry. So when KD went down, I knew that was going to be an opportunity for those guys to show y'all that, hey, we were a force to be reckoned with long before KD got here. Draymond was going to stand up and show you that, yo, what he said back in November, he meant it. Steph Curry was going to show you that, listen, I am a force to be reckoned with, and I'm going to do it here in the playoffs. So it was phenomenal to watch them. I was in Europe watching them at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And honestly, it was no surprise that they were able to get things done without KD. I didn't anticipate them folding at all. On the Toronto side, wow, that was a phenomenal series they just wrapped up against the Bucks. I mean, what can you say? What can you say? Kawhi Leonard is a beast. And every time we've seen him on the court in his career, he's shown us just that. So I don't really have much to add to Kawhi Leonard, but I just want to go back to the Spurs and ask them, how could you let this man walk free? Yes, he demanded a trade, but what led to that? The Spurs organization kind of just hung him out to dry. Kawhi told y'all he was injured, and y'all went to the media in a way we've never seen you do before. Well, what's the deal with Kawhi Leonard? The Spurs would say, I don't know. Our doctor said he was healthy. Y'all question his desire to play ball? Y'all look mighty silly today, don't you? Y'all question his desire to play ball. The last time we saw Kawhi Leonard healthy for the Spurs, it was in the playoffs. They were in Golden State up 20. Kawhi Leonard won you guys a championship. Not only did he help win you guys a championship, but he was the finals MVP. Not only did he help you win a championship, was the finals MVP, but he did it matched up against LeBron. Why would y'all ever question his desire to play ball? Okay, maybe he had an injury. He was a little skittish about coming back. But the way y'all handled him was like something I've never seen. Nothing in his basketball resume said his desire to play ball should be questioned. That's what y'all did to him, to the point where he said, yo, get me the hell out of here. And he just put on a display for the world to see that he is the real deal, dragging the Toronto Raptors to the finals. And not only did he drag him to the finals, but he went through two beasts to the East. Joel Embiid in the Philadelphia 76ers and Giannis Antetokounmpo in the Milwaukee Bucks. Spurs, y'all got that one wrong, man. Shame on y'all for allowing the narrative to be, does this kid want to play basketball? I think he answered that question. I definitely think he answered that question, man. So I look forward to that finals. Big time. As for the teams that came short, in the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he got outplayed by Kawhi Leonard. Did he fail? Did he flop? Did he come up short? My answer to that is an emphatic hell no. Let's talk about a flop. A flop is what we saw from LeBron James his first season with Miami when they went up against the Dallas Mavericks in the finals, where it looked like somebody took over LeBron's body and he no longer knew how to play basketball. That's a flop. After MVP season in the finals, the biggest moment of the year, you come up short. That's a flop. James Harden averaging 36 points for the regular season and he gets to the playoffs and he can't put up those same numbers. That is a flop. Giannis Antetokounmpo, no way. You know, we knew what his deficiencies were when we were coming into the season. Jump shot's not where it needs to be. Right? The same thing when we came to the series. The jump shot's still not where it needs to be. And unfortunately, it caught up to him in the Eastern Conference Finals, playing against a better player. But there's no shame in that at all. Look forward to him getting better in the offseason. And he's going to be a force to be reckoned with, man. No shame in that at all. As for the Blazers, who lost to the Golden State Warriors. And I got to give Charles Barkley credit for this because this was something I wasn't aware of. The Golden State Warriors features two of the greatest shooters in NBA history. Steph Curry being the best. Off the dribble, catch and shoot. Steph Curry being the best shooter of all times. Klay Thompson is on that list. And shit, Kevin Durant's on that list too. 7-footer, pull up from wherever. That team is eighth in the NBA in the number of three-point attempts. A team that features three of the greatest shooters in NBA history is only eighth. So Charles Barkley said, who are the other seven dummies that think they can shoot more threes than the Golden State Warriors? And I think the Blazers were victim to that. They would come down and shoot reckless shots time and time again. In the playoffs, these possessions are so valuable, and they didn't treat it as such. You know, I remember playing in big-time games when I was in college. And those possessions were so valuable. We would play defense for 25 seconds. And then when we finally get the ball back, it's like, yo, we got to do right by this. We got to work our hardest to make sure we get the best shot. Because these opportunities are few and far between. If we play defense for 25 seconds, get the ball back and fling up a three, and then we back on deep. That's not a winning recipe. And that's what I saw from the Blazers, man. They never valued the possessions. They wouldn't take championship shots. They didn't value possessions. Work the ball around. Try to get as close to the rim as possible. And if all else fails, damn, you could chuck a three. But not chuck up a three with 20 seconds left on the shot clock. The numbers bear out. People believe that's what the Warriors are doing. Uh-uh. They lead the league in two-point shots taken. I'm sure people wouldn't know that. Championship possessions, man. Valuing the ball. So, Thursday night, we got the Warriors taking on the Raptors. Definitely going to be interesting. Another piece of NBA news. There was an article that came out in ESPN about dysfunction in the Lakers organization. Now, I already commented on one of the podcasts about Magic Johnson leaving abruptly. I thought it was a cowardly move. He's been on ESPN talking about how the Lakers general manager, Rob Pelinka, backstabbed him. There's been stories about the Lakers owner, Jeannie Buss, how she's seeking counsel from a lady by the name of Linda Rambis, who her only link to basketball is being married to a former basketball player. Like, this is who she's going to help her make basketball decisions. And they just said it's a bad time in the organization. And I'm here to tell you, I don't give a damn about the Lakers. But I did want to use this opportunity to talk to my people, the people from my community, the people I love, the people nearest and dearest of my heart, and use this story to show you that because these people may have more money than you, they have fancy titles, they're not better than you. They're not smarter than you. Right? I'm always shocked at the amazement when these stories come back. Oh my God, how can the Lakers general manager tell a lie? Because there's a story that Lakers general manager Rob Pelinka, he told the story about Kobe Bryant being a big fan of The Dark Knight and the actor that played the Joker, the actor by the name of Heath Ledger, that Kobe had dinner with him and he asked him, yo, how did you get in that role? How did you focus? And if you remember, like I remember, The Dark Knight came out 6 months after Heath Ledger died. Heath Ledger never got to capitalize on his stardom, on that role. So when would Kobe have time to freaking reach out to Heath Ledger? Kobe saw the movie when we saw it. Heath Ledger was dead. So it came out that Rob Pelinka told that lie. And people sit back in amazement. How could he do such a thing? Because he a human, no different than you and I. The same way that journalist Brian Williams lied when he said, oh, he was in an Iraqi helicopter crash. And then when they approached him about it, he misremembered. These people ain't no better than you and I. And I want to send that message to my people, man, because we get so caught up in celebrity and we it causes us to look in the mirror and say, dang, man, I'll never be able to cut it or reach those heights. Dog. They're no better than us. We don't know how they got there. Who knows? Maybe they were better at kissing ass. Continue to run your own race. Don't get caught up in these celebrities. Don't assign so much prestige and smarts to these individuals. Continue to run your own race. And that message is important to me right now because over the weekend, I learned that one of my cousins, this is a gentleman who was born the same year that I was, 1985. His grandfather and my grandfather are brothers. So there were many family dinners of us young boys running around. There were many family reunions in North Carolina, a bunch of young boys running up and down the dirt roads, getting dirty, having fun, playing. I learned that he walked into the ocean and decided to never come back, right? Essentially taking his own life. You know, I saw him in about 2017. I know he was in a bad spot. He was searching for work. Things weren't adding up. So I guess he finally decided to end it all. And we don't know the specifics, but I can surmise that, hey, he's looking around at social media. He's looking around at everything. And he thinks the whole world is having a party and he's missing out. That ain't the case, man. Right? These people, they're not better than you, right? They sell you stuff in the media like, oh, everything is perfect. No, there's dysfunction everywhere. Everybody has issues, man. Continue to run your own race. Whatever you're doing just fine, man. Don't use these folks as a gauge, as a barometer. Continue to do your own thing. Take it from somebody that has worked in professional organizations. I didn't just work in any organization. I worked for the New York Yankees, right? One of the top franchises in the world. It's the Dallas Cowboys, Man U, and the New York Yankees. And many a days I'm in these buildings, I'm scratching my head. I'm like, damn, this is the almighty Pinstripes. I ain't impressed. I'm not impressed at all. My friends, my family are just as talented, just as smart. So I just want to make sure you guys understand that shit. Jeannie Buss is the owner of the Lakers. The most impressive thing on her resume was just be born. Her daddy gifted her that organization. Well, Will, she did go to college. What college did she go to? The University of Southern California, a.k.a. USC. You mean the same school that's in the middle of this admission scandal? I ain't impressed, man. So forget all that celebrating celebrities, man. I've driven limos for years, been with the who's who or who's who. I ain't impressed. So I don't give a damn about this Lakers dysfunction. I ain't surprised either. But I wanted to just use this to let you know that, dog, what you doing? My man Kayvon Baker, who's spearheading the hottest grassroots sports movement in Brooklyn, the LTG, sometimes he get frustrated like, yo, Will, why the sneaker companies ain't come snatch? Man, F that, son. We crown ourselves. These people we worshiping and look at, they ain't that impressive. And one other piece I saw in the article, it says that the Lakers organization has been seeking counsel from Phil Jackson. We know Phil Jackson, 11-time champion coach. He coached the Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen Bulls. He coached Shaq and Kobe Lakers, the Kobe and Paul Gasol Lakers. We know him here in New York for his abysmal time as the general manager of the New York Knicks. So he's back with the organization, counseling them, helping them make decisions. He helped in the coaching hire. And I ask you, is that significant to you at all? I'm going to tell you what I thought when I learned he was back making decisions with the organization. If you remember, he referenced LeBron James and the gentleman that worked with him, Rich Paul, Maverick Carter. He called them a posse years ago. And people were up in arms, specifically LeBron James. He was disgusted by these comments. He thought it was a racial slight, you know, to call his group a posse as if they're a gang. Me personally, I didn't have a problem with it because posse's in the dictionary, whatever. But LeBron James was disgusted. He said, yo, he's no longer the greatest. He used to be a good coach. You know, he kind of said Pop was the greatest now. He was just disgusted. Wanted nothing to do with Phil Jackson. But now Phil Jackson's in the organization making the decisions that will affect LeBron's career. Phil Jackson is helping to handpick the coach that's going to lead LeBron into the twilight of his career. This is where you find yourself again, LeBron. Under the direction of this gentleman, somebody you were disgusted by. I just bring that up going back to the conversation I had with Fenton on our previous podcast. It's time to really examine building your own league. Because we're not empowered the way we think we are. LeBron James, you were disgusted by those comments, and rightfully so. You should not find yourself under the thumb of this man once again. Telling you, man, I've seen guys like LeBron James move mountains, Sean Carter, P. Diddy Combs, Will Smith, Rick Ross. There's no reason we can't create our own league. No reason. Josh, how we doing on time? We all right? How much time I got? All right. So, that I told you guys when I was going to Germany, I was excited about a book I was going to read. It was the book is called LeBron Inc. It was by Brian Windhorst, a dude, LeBron's biographer. He's been following LeBron since he was in high school. And it was just about some of the business moves that LeBron has made. Now, I've always had respect for LeBron as a human being. Like, that boy is a winner in life. Humble beginnings, Akron, Ohio, to where he is now. Totally impressive. After the book, even more respect for LeBron, man. Some of the things he had to navigate, don't know how he pulled it off. There was a part in the book where they said Adidas moved an executive to Akron, Ohio, LeBron's junior year in high school, just so he could show up to high school games like, hey, LeBron, I'm here. Hey. So LeBron had all that at in his face, people wanted from him, something from him at every turn, going back to his junior year in high school, and he still made it out. That is phenomenal. Shit, when we walking through the mall, you know they got the insurance guys, they try to pull you to the table. My man Fat Cat gets sucked in every time. Yo, Fat Cat, tell him no, we moving. He gets pulled in every time. For LeBron to not be derailed by all these sneak executives, these agents, when he's 16, 15 years old, truly phenomenal. But another piece to the book talks about his relationship with Maverick Carter and how they got to know one another. What happened was Maverick Carter, this is LeBron's confidant, business partner. They first got together when Maverick was a senior on the basketball team and LeBron was a freshman. So Maverick Carter was like a big homie. Maverick Carter went on to earn a basketball scholarship. It didn't pan out at the college he went to. So he came back home. He went to the University of Akron. And then that's when LeBron was starting to get hot. So Maverick Carter dropped out of school to work full-time with LeBron. Cool. And the rest was history. Them boys getting to the money, making things happen. So I turned on my YouTube the other day, and it shows Maverick Carter giving a commencement speech at the University of Southern California. I said, huh. Now, I just had read the book. Dang, Maverick Carter is a college dropout. Why is he addressing a group of college graduates? So I ask you, how do you feel about somebody who did not graduate from college addressing a room full of college graduates? To me, I think that's out of place. I believe that discredits that institution. Right? Now, you have this group of kids. It's undergraduates, graduate, doctorate students. So that's 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, seven, eight, nine, 10 years working for your degree. And now you put somebody in front of me who never walked that path? Now, if my man Fenton was here, he would say, Will, you bugging. Them boys getting money. Fent, I understand. And if we're having an entrepreneurial conference, please, by all means, Maverick Carter, Rich Paul, come on down. But a college graduate, the culmination of your 4 years, your 5 years, your 6 years, 7 years, you shouldn't be addressed by somebody who didn't walk that path. You shouldn't be addressed by somebody who doesn't know what it is to have student loans, to see your mom work two jobs to help put you through school. Somebody who's never had to go to school, work an overnight job, and then be back to class in the morning. Somebody who's never been on the ramen noodle diet, or stayed up late studying for midterms or finals, they should not address you on that day? No. But Will, they getting money. I understand, but money is not the end all be all, right? There's a certain prestige that goes along with college. Nobody's taking away what Maverick and them has accomplished, but the college path is a different fraternity. You wouldn't have somebody that drove a bus for 20 years address an entrepreneurial conference. Nah, he drove a bus. He worked for the city for 20 years. He didn't build anything. That's cool. It's different paths. It's not better or worse. It's different. Take this in consideration. Maverick Carter and LeBron and them, when they handle their business, every time they do a business deal, guess what? They got to go run and get a team of college graduates and lawyers. LeBron James twists his ankle tonight. Guess what? They got to go get a team of college graduates and doctors. It's not better or worse, just different. The building they lay in was erected by an architect, probably a college graduate. The Supreme Court justice that's going to help put the law in place, that's going to free innocent people from death row, probably a college graduate. It's just different, you know. And last year, the same thing I saw with Harvard and Mark Zuckerberg. Dog, he dropped out of your school. If you want to bring Mark Zuckerberg and Maverick Carter in on the first day of school, freshman orientation, and they say, yo, forget this college stuff, come be an entrepreneur, I'm with you. But not on graduation day. It's just different prestige, man. You know, I go back to my time in the military. In the military, there are two paths you can take. You could be an enlisted soldier, which is a private, a sergeant major, or you could be a commissioned officer, a captain, a major, a colonel. Different paths. Now, essentially, the officers outrank the enlisted. But when that sergeant major gets in front of us, somebody who's enlisted, he knows what it is to be a private in the Army. The officers, they don't know. And so they don't address us in the same manner. There's certain parts to the Army that only the enlisted guys speak to. Even though the colonel outranks him and he could overtake everything, no, he's not from this fraternity. Let the sergeant major handle that. He knows what it is to roll around in the mud with us. So I just thought that was interesting that that's who they chose, man. But shout out to everybody. Shout out to fucking Maverick Carter. They put him up there in a robe and everything. They gonna let you do it. Do it, brother. Do it, brother. Now, when I was in Germany, I got to see a lot of cool things. I got to go to a European soccer match. You know what? Since I was in Europe, I'm not calling it soccer. For this, I'm calling it football. God damn it. That's what they call it. I'm calling it football. And matter of fact, football. How arrogant are Americans that they call that thing that we watch on Sundays football? To me, that highlights not only the arrogance, but the lack of creativity. Dog, that ball barely hits the foot of anybody. Why the hell would you call it football? If you put a five-year-old in front of the TV and you showed him soccer and you showed him American football and said, which one you think is football, he gonna point to soccer. God damn, Americans. Fucking arrogant. Just took them people the name of their sport. We gonna call it football. And growing up, I used to think like the soccer guys were the ones that were copying. Nah, I'm glad I'm enlightened now. That's their sport. Soccer is football. And from here on out, that's what I'm calling it, football. So I got to see a European soccer football match. Man, next level. Next level. You want to talk about fandom? There's people that stand, chant, sing for 90 minutes. And don't let them score a goal, man. They start throwing stuff. Just crazy, man. The energy was second to none. But one of the cool things I got to do while I was over there, I got to tour a stadium in Hamburg, Germany. And we're touring the facility. Of course, it's top-notch. We're going around the campus. And then the tour guy, he points to a nice building just across the way. And I said, yo, what's that? He said, oh, that's our youth academy. That's where some of our youth teams train. Dog, that facility was top-notch. It was professional level. You mean to tell me that's where the kids get to train? He was like, yeah. I'm like, yo, tell me more about these youth academies. How does it work? He says, well, at a young age, special athletes are identified and we put them in those camps. He said, they go to a specialized school with a curriculum that allows them to train twice a day like professional athletes. So they're training like professional athletes. They have professional level coaching and professional level facilities. With that environment, that increases their chances of being great, of reaching professional heights. And what I learned is that is the European way. They had these youth teams where they play a hand in raising up these kids. They live there like dorms. They feed them. They clothe them. And they train. And that's how some of the greatest soccer players of all time, that's how they go. Lionel Messi, he come from the system. Cristiano Ronaldo, they come from that system. I'm like, yo, is this specific to soccer? No. Across all sports. And as I look closely, oh, snap, that is how they come up. Tony Parker and them. When they say these boys been playing since they was freaking 40 years old in professional leagues, I see now. And I thought that model of those youth academies could be very beneficial to American sports. Because when you think of the American athlete, LeBron James, from when he's 5 years old to he's 18, essentially, he's on his own. He has to survive poverty. He's basically participating in the Hunger Games, and if he's lucky, he'll make it to professional ranks. And now that he's 18, okay, he makes it to the doorstep of the NBA. The NBA pulls him in and say, okay, son, you're one of us. But when he's 14, 12, 13, nobody's helping to put food on his mom's table. It would be beneficial if we had that youth academy model. Now, you may say, well, Will, that is an NCAA violation. Forget the NCAA. You know, people always talk about, well, the NCAA is robbing these kids because it's free labor. I always thought that was small time. The NCAA is just a cog in the wheel. They are not the sole perpetrators of this injustice of kids not being paid. The whole system needs to be revamped. Right? This youth academy, that would go a long way into helping a lot of these youths. If the professional teams could have younger teams and professional facilities, hey, you could identify Kevin Durant at 7, 8 years old. Hey, come to our camp, son. Come to our facility. Help feed him. Help clothe him. Y'all saw the Kevin Durant, his mom's Lifetime movie. They were struggling. We need to adopt that European model. I think it would go a long way into saving the lives of a lot of young kids. Because we know the story of Kevin Durant and LeBron James making it, but there were kids along the way who didn't make it. They dead, jail, because they didn't have the means. We essentially playing Hunger Games in the hood, and if you're lucky enough to make it, okay, the NBA will pull you in, the NFL will pull you in. And capitalize off the 18 years of hard work you and your family put in. Now, help offset some of these costs the way they do for the soccer players in Europe. You know, it's not just the NCAA that are robbing these kids. The AAU circuit, people are making money off that at high school, junior high school levels. LeBron James Jr.'s son, LeBron James Jr., right? LeBron's son. He is all over the AAU circus right now playing in gymnasiums that are sold out. Somebody's making that money. LeBron James Jr. should be able to capitalize off that. He's running around with Nike checks all over his chest and his feet. Somebody's making money off that. Somebody's making money off his Instagram following. His YouTube highlight clips. If he was in a European model, he could make money off of that. Now you say, we don't worry about LeBron James Jr. because we know he's not missing any meals. But what about the other kids in those AAU circuits? We knew who Zion was when he was 16. I go back to that book I read about LeBron James. LeBron James, when he was in high school, they had to move his games to the local college. Why? Because the gyms were being sold out. Who was making money off of that? Not LeBron. So to bash the NCAA, that's small fries. There's a lot of other hands making money. The European model is the way. Because them kids could cash in on their likeness. 14 years old, they in a facility getting fed, getting taken care of, earning some money. Signing professional contracts, 16, 17 years old. And that European model, I believe, is the reason we'll never catch up in soccer. And you say, soccer, but we got the other sports. But do we? If you look at the NBA, it's all international talent now. Opening night in 2018, they had 108 international players on NBA rosters. In 96, it was only 21 people. So look at the NBA now. The international, that model is taking over. Giannis Antetokounmpo ain't come through no college system. He was in one of these youth academies. Luka Doncic, one of these youth academies. Who else I got here? Kristaps Porzingis, Rudy Gobert, Ricky Rubio, Tony Parker, the kid from the Denver Nuggets. What's his name? Jokic. Steve Adams from Oklahoma City Thunder. They're catching up. So forget just bashing the NBA. We need to revamp that whole thing, man. Because this international talent, we love them. God bless them. But they're taking a job from Americans. Not just any American. They're taking the jobs from the poor American kids. I would like to... That youth academy model is amazing, man. Let the professional organizations... You want our talent? Well, come help invest in them early on in the year. In their careers. Not just when they're 18 and all the hard work is over. I've always had a problem with that anyway. I had to fight and scrape for 18 years, try to survive, and now I get to the NBA, and you want me to forget everybody from my community. You want to tell me how to dress and everything. Hold on. You want me to forget my homies? It's the local drug dealers that put food on my mom's table when we ain't have anything. It's the stick-up kids from the neighborhood that made it safe for me to shoot jump shots till 2 a.m. to work on my game when I was younger. And now I got to turn my back on them. That's what you corporations want me to do. And the athletes who do that, now they got problems. They alienated from their community. They can't go home. When they do go home, there's beef. There's drama. No, let these professional organizations come in and invest early and help lighten the load. Man, I love to see that fucking youth model come to America. I see. I got one more, Josh. If I get 10 more minutes. 10 more minutes, man. I'm moving fast today, man. I didn't really have much notes written down. Just kind of wanted to shoot from the hip. There was one story that had my attention before I left. And that was the story of Sebastian Telfair. If you know Sebastian Telfair, he is a Brooklyn native, played at Abraham Lincoln High School, went on to the NBA straight from high school, and unfortunately, recently, he was convicted of gun possession, and on June 18th, he's going to be sentenced. He's facing a minimum of 3 to 15 years. Now, it was a sad story, man, and I believe it is the toxicity surrounding sports. I guess sports, entertainment, specifically like in the black community, inner cities. I think that is what derailed him, and we all played a hand in that. You know, I would go around and I would ask people like my man D, I'm like, yo, what you think about Bassie? Like, this is before he got in trouble. People like, oh, Bassie, man, he's a bum. He's, and at one time, I might have thought that, too. Because Bassie played 10 years in the NBA, but he's not going to Hall of Fame. He ain't winning championships. Like, he's a bum. But when you think of the grand scheme of it all, man, it's only us that talk about one another like that. Sebastian Telfair made $20 million playing the game that he loved. Yo, how can he be a bum? He made $20 million in NBA salary. That's what we know from the NBA. He made some more millions in China. He signed a 6-year, $15 million deal with Adidas. Like, why do we talk about our own people like that? Sebastian Telfair, who was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was in high school. Sebastian Telfair, who was on the cover of Slam in high school with LeBron James. Sebastian Telfair, who had a documentary, Through the Fire, that inspired a whole league of children. Specifically, my man Kayvon Baker, who works in the New York City Public School as a teacher, a varsity coach, who has AAU programs, who's helping to save kids' lives. You can't tell him nothing about Sebastian Telfair. And we call him a bum. Right? Sebastian Telfair, who had Jay-Z, Foxy Brown, P. Diddy, Steve Stout all of these guys attended New York City high school games. He brought that energy to the city before he was 18. The New York City public school system, he did that. Brought money to Abraham Lincoln, which allowed them to play a national schedule for years upon years, which probably led to Lance Stephenson going to the NBA, Isaiah Whitehead going to the NBA. Sebastian did a lifetime of work before he was 30 years old, but only in the inner city, in the hood, is that not enough. Only there will we call him a bum. And that's unfortunate. And I think it's that toxic thought pattern that leads our kings to kind of constantly be in a hamster wheel and feeling they got to fight for more. Oh, Sebastian, he ain't in the NBA no more. He ain't hot. So we ain't letting him in the club. You know what I'm saying? A few years ago, Sebastian Telfair had got into, he had got robbed outside of a restaurant because he had a chain on. And this, yo, why we got to even wear chains? Like, you Sebastian Telfair, son. You brought the world to Brooklyn, New York, to Abraham Lincoln, to the public school system. He a king. So now he's out there. He got caught with some guns. Who knows what he was doing? It wasn't right. It wasn't. But Sebastian shouldn't even be in a position where he got to prove himself. He should be able to come to Brooklyn all good. You know, Jay-Z and all of them were by his side when he was in high school. When his career didn't go the way people thought it was, you couldn't get anybody to stand next to him. Only we do that to one another. Only us. And it's sad to see he was in that courtroom. His wife testified against him. Hold up, what? I don't know much about the law, but I know I've seen people get in trouble with the law and they rush to get married so their wife doesn't have to testify. Why the hell would she take the stand against him? Oh, probably because he ain't hot anymore. Well, Will, why would you say something like that? Because I go back to 2006. Telfair had another gun issue in 2006. He was going through TSA security. He had a gun in his bag. He said, oh, snap, my bad. That was my girl's bag. Guess what? When the money was good, she ain't say a peep then. She ain't ring any alarms then. She ain't take the stand then because the money was good. So it's just sad, man, that he found himself in that predicament. Now, I'm not absolving him, but I can't help but believe the toxic thought pattern around how we view sports and who's hot or not and entertainment. Sebastian Telfair was on a Breakfast Club recently, and it broke my heart that he was talking about he putting out a rap album. What? You Sebastian Telfair, son? You did a lifetime of work before you was 30 years old. You ain't got anything to prove. Now, who knows? Rap may be in the passion. Maybe, maybe not. But I couldn't help but think, yo, this is my last ditch attempt to get hot again. Only we do that to one another. Shit, you go to Cardi B and Nicki Minaj. Oh, Nicki Minaj fell off. Nicki Minaj killing the game for 10 years. Why you gonna pit her against Cardi B? That's us doing that to us. I don't see the rock music doing that. I don't see the fucking Mick Jagger and them doing that to each other. The Rolling Stones is the Rolling Stones now and forever. Paul McCartney is a Beatle now and forever. They don't look at him like, oh, he ain't hot anymore. So Jay-Z, all these guys, I hope they do something to help Sebastian Telfair right now. Because when he was hot as fish grease, everybody wanted to be around him. But he's still that king that did so much for Brooklyn. Through the fire, you can't quantify how many people he's inspired. The money he brought to Abraham Lincoln in Brooklyn, you cannot magnify that. He went straight to the NBA from high school. Public school, son. We can't even get colleges to come recruit our public school kids. Sebastian was in the NBA at 19 years old in a grown man league making grown man money. He did it, son. Now he needs our help. Where's everybody at? Oh, my fault. I forgot because he ain't hot. Because he a bum. Although he made $30 million fucking playing the game he loved. There's a white boy on Wall Street right now who made $90,000. His family think he's king of the world. His community patting him on the back. Good job, Johnny. That shit corny, man. And we only do it to ourselves. So June 18, I'll be watching closely, man. Hopefully somebody swoops in. I remember Bassey was doing some work with, I think, Eric Adams, who's the borough president. Like, hopefully they come to his rescue. Hove, all these people that were standing next to him. They try to tell us, like, I get that celebrity and who's hot. That shit is so corny. They try to tell me Marbury ain't hot. Marbury gave y'all a middle finger and went and got his money. So I ain't a slave to that celebrity shit. We killing our own people, son. But that's WBH Radio. I'm out.